This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. And certainly, the information and the ideas expressed in this broadcast, this program, are important to all people of the earth. As I will repeat again and again and again, although the Jewish supremacist, the Jewish extremist dominated media constantly refers to me as a white supremacist, I am far from that. I certainly am a white preservationist, and I certainly believe in the preservation of all peoples, all heritages, and the independence of all peoples. That doesn't make me a supremacist. But as usual, the psychological principle called projection works perfectly to expose the people who control the media and who set American foreign policy. It's the old adage that when you point your finger at someone, there are three fingers pointing back at you. And truly, the real supremacists in this whole controversy are the Jewish supremacists, who seek not only supremacy and supremacism over the Palestinian people and other people's land, but they also seek supremacy over our media here in America. They seek supremacy over our foreign policy. They seek supremacy over our culture, our institutions. And, ladies and gentlemen, they truly seek supremacy over the entire world. These people, I believe, involved in this extremist Jewish ideology, believe somehow that they have a divine right to rule over the other peoples of the world. And they express this supremacy and supremacism in many ways. I have quoted many times the former head of the National Affairs Division of the largest Jewish organization in the United States of America, the American Jewish Committee, Dr. Steven Steinlein, where he literally talks about how, as a typical Jew of his generation, he grew up every summer going to a Jewish summer camp, singing Jewish songs, saluting a foreign flag, and basically being taught that Israel was the true homeland and that Gentiles were not as intelligent, not as sensitive, that Jews were superior in every respect, and that Gentiles could not be trusted. Only Jews could be trusted. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the classic example of supremacism. However, this prominent Jewish leader, a very prominent and powerful Jewish position of a Jewish organization, the American Jewish Committee, was never called on the carpet for these statements. There was no outrage in the media. Well, of course there was no outrage, because he is part of that supremacist establishment that controls so much of the American media and now, of course, so much of American foreign policy. And that, by the way, brings us specifically to the topic of this program today, because as you probably have heard recently, a major Jewish-controlled newspaper, the New York Sun, has kind of let it out for me here. They've attacked me pretty handily, and they've attacked this recent report that was put out by Mr. Walt and another individual, John Mearsheimer from the University of Chicago, which exposes the fact that the Israeli lobby, which puts the interest of Israel over that of the United States of America, that this lobby is absolutely going against the best interest of the United States of America, and how that the interests of Israel are being put ahead of our country. Pretty amazing stuff. There's been a lot of controversy about this, obviously, And unfortunately, I'm not getting a good connection here. I'm trying to do some surfing. We had a little power failure, and I'm trying to get the surfing. It looks like the broadcast is indeed going out, and I'm going to make sure that that's happening, too. I'm looking at this right now. Yeah, the broadcast tends to be going out, but we're having some problem getting a lot of the material on the airwaves here. But anyway, I don't have to have internet surfing to be able to do this program and to be able to quote from you from what, you know, is going on and some of these major issues facing our country. All right, let me see if I can catch that up. Just one moment here, a minute. Boy, I don't know why all of a sudden I can't get the internet, because I wanted to go forward with that article. But I can certainly do it this way, if you give me a moment here, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm going to go right here. Naturally, we have problems right when we get ready to go on the air. Okay, here's the article that I put on the internet, and here's some commentary that I'll have, and this won't be exactly the same as what I have on the internet, because I always add some personal verbal commentary to anything that I ever read on the air. So I'm really speaking to you much more than reading, but let me give you a good verbal report of what's been going on. There's an article in the New York Sun, which was headlined, "David Duke Claims to Be Vindicated by Harvard Dean." And the New York Sun basically attacked me, as well as the authors of a new report, The Israeli Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy, it's the name of it, by Stephen Walt, Dean of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and John Mearsheimer from the University of Chicago. The Harvard report contains little new information. I and a few other American commentators have for years been making the same assertions as this new paper from the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. And by the way, this is the most prestigious university in the United States, and certainly one of the most famous, if not the most famous, school of government in the United States of America. And now they're making the claim that American foreign policy is being controlled by Israel against the interests of the United States of America. I hope that all of you listening understand how important this is. It's a very important, it's a seminal moment in the changing of American opinions and ideas, and including the academic community in this country, as to the whole foundations of our so-called special relationship with Israel. And this is David Duke, and we're back again. A few technical difficulties there, but we're back broadcasting and reaching the world with our message. Sometimes we have power failures, sometimes things go wrong, but the main thing is that the message continues to go out and get out to the world where it needs to go. Okay, I was discussing the fact that the New York Sun recently has run an article attacking me as well as the authors of a brand new report. The report is entitled The Israeli Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy by Stephen Walt, Dean of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and John Mearsheimer from the University of Chicago. Now, Harvard's Kennedy School of Government is the premier government higher education institution or body probably in the United States of America, and Harvard, of course, is the most prestigious university in the United States. And we have the amazing situation where this body, this school, and the dean of this school of government, that's the United States government, by the way, has literally said that the policies and the ideas that I've represented over the last few years, even before the Iraq War, that these positions that I've taken are essentially correct. In fact, they themselves have taken these positions now, and they're virtually identical to the ones that I've been talking about, as you know, for a very long time. So let's talk about some of this report, and I'll just start off by saying that the Harvard report contains little new information. I and a few other American commentators have been for years making the same assertions as this new paper. The great thing is that now the most prestigious school of government in the United States has adopted the same position that I've taken for so long. Now, essentially, The position of this paper is that Jewish extremists have taken over American foreign policy, that they harm America's interest on behalf of Israel, and that they've been the driving force behind the Iraq war and America's disastrous Middle East policy. And of course, our Middle East policy has been completely disastrous, not only for the thousands of American men and women who've been killed, maimed, mutilated, emasculated, disfigured, blinded, crippled in this incredible war, but also for every aspect of American true interest. We have not made the world safer from terrorism. If anything, we've increased the possibilities of terrorism. In fact, these Jewish extremists have marched on without pause for what they call the clash of civilizations and what they absolutely braggadociously say or call World War IV, a war that they want to ignite, a war that they believe we're fighting now. And World War IV comes from their terminology of the Second World War, the Cold War being World War III, and World War IV being this new war that they want to become more and more enveloping across the world. So let's talk about this a little bit. Now, the truth is that the paper I thought was good. I don't think it went nearly far enough. Again, I guess I just continue to have to take the lead in some of these issues. But the paper does go a long way in exposing a lot of the perfidy of Israel and a lot of the fifth columnists in America. They don't show, though, how Israel has even engaged in a number of activities that are just downright incredible once one steps back, takes a look at it with open eyes, and thinks about it. The fact is that Israel has committed terrorism against the United States of America, and I'll talk about that a little later. The authors do show how Jewish extremists manipulated America into launching this war, and they point out that the Israeli lobby, by the way, some of whose top agents are now being prosecuted for espionage in this country, how they control Congress, and they have dramatic influence in the executive branch. Although the report discusses the destructive espionage of Jonathan Pollard for Israel, it doesn't even mention the well-documented record of Israeli terrorism against the United States in actions such as the Levant affair and the attack on the USS Liberty. It makes no mention of the fact that the Israeli government and its president recently honored and called as heroes the Israeli terrorists who years ago firebombed American installations in Egypt in the Levant affair in a treacherous attempt to manipulate America into an unjustified war against Egypt. Now, this is a fact. There's no denying it. And the fact is that the Israeli government recently honored these terrorists, admitted terrorist bombers of American installations, and called them heroes in Israel. This is the same country that we send billions of dollars to every year. Now, if Jewish extremists don't exercise power over American policy, then how can one explain the fact that America continues to send billions of dollars to a nation that has ceremonies honoring admitted terrorists who attacked America? How can the highest leaders of the American government, including President Bush and Vice President Cheney, support and even speak at meetings of AIPAC, that's the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, the same organization that has officials right now on trial for espionage against the United States of America? And if the media are not unduly influenced by these Zionists, then how is it that these Israeli partisans get away with such actions without scandal and outrage in the media? In other words, how can George Bush or any politician go and speak before organizations that are being accused of espionage against the United States? Treasonous activity. Think about that for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine if some people were caught, an organization like a Russian support group was spying for Russia. Do you think President Bush or any other American politician would go and speak before that organization? Well, of course not. They wouldn't be caught within 1,000 miles of it. We have an incredible, incredible control over both American media. And in fact, if that did happen, there would be scandal in the media. Now, if the media, you know, is not unduly influenced, how can they justify their record over the past few years? Let's talk about you know, my record. As any reader can see for himself or herself in the archives of www.davidduke.com over the last few years, here's a summary of a few of my positions. Number one, I showed that Jewish neocons such as Pearl, Wolfowitz, Wormser, Feith, Libby, Abrams, Pipes, Crystal, and many other Jewish neocons had long seen the destruction of Iraq as a part of Israel's strategic agenda. Pearl, the chief promoter of the Iraq War, was even one of the authors of a paper called A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. This was a paper written for Israel, not for America. And this was a paper that called for a war in Iraq to secure Israel's realm, securing Israel's realm, not America's. Two, obviously, America couldn't be induced to spend hundreds of billions of dollars, in fact, it would be trillions of dollars before all the costs of this war are said and done, because the medical costs and other associated costs of this war over the next few years and decades. But they couldn't be induced to spend these hundreds of billions of dollars or trillions of dollars and thousands of American lives and ruined lives fighting a war for Israel. So the Zionist extremists had to manufacture the lies that Iraq and Saddam were imminent threats to America rather than to Israel. There you go. If people talk about the weapons of mass destruction lies, here's the motive behind it. And this is why those lies were told. Again, to motivate us into a war for an entirely different purpose. Three, long before the war, I said consistently that the evidence showed Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction and had no ties with bin Laden, and that these lies were necessary for the Jewish neocons to enlist the American people into the strategic war for Israel. Israel invaded its neighbors across the Middle East and broken dozens of United Nations resolutions, but only Iraq was singled out. While Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction, Israel had and has one of the world's largest stockpiles of chemical, nuclear, and biological weapons, and has allowed absolutely no inspections at all from any international regulatory body. Now, again, my friends, how does one explain the double standards without understanding the powerful Jewish extremist influence in government and media in America? Four, I showed that the primary authors of these lies against Iraq were the same Jewish neocons. In other words, not only were the Jewish neocons advocating this war, and these Jewish neocons were avid Israeli partisans, but they are the ones who also were the cheerleaders and the individuals who kept telling us of these lies about Saddam Hussein. So it was the same source. And even the CIA, official supplying the false intelligence on Iraq, himself was none other than a Jewish supremacist named Stuart Cohen, and that much of the false intelligence which was shown to the American people and given by American officials was actually provided by the government of Israel. Five, repeatedly I pointed out that the lies were spread uncritically and the war was cheerleaded by the Jewish extremists who are in key media positions and publications, such as the New York Times, the Washington Post, and throughout the broadcast media. Six, the Harvard Report talks about Israel's, quote, blood kinship immigration rules. Yet for years I've exposed Israel's immigration laws that allow non-religious Jews from around the world to immigrate and qualify for cash grants, while Palestinians who were born there, inside the area of what is called Israel today, can't even return to their homes. Why is there no outrage in the same government and media that condemns any effort of European Americans to limit immigration into European and American nations? Isn't that interesting? The same media that says that we should have multiculturalism and diversity and open our borders in the United States, how good immigration is of non-European people to America, is the very same media that doesn't condemn Israel and continues to tell Americans that it must support the state of Israel, a nation that allows immigration essentially to only people of Jewish descent. I pointed out for years that Israel does not legally allow the marriage of Jews and non-Jews, and even recently would not allow the legal marriage of a Jew of the Kohanim, priest class, to marry a religious Jewish woman who simply happened to have some Gentile genetic heritage. She had some Gentile blood, so the Israeli state would not recognize. They could not legally marry in Israel. Now, similar types of laws have led to American sanctions against South Africa. But not only does the United States government not sanction Israel as they did South Africa, the United States government sends Israel billions of American tax dollars and criminalizes American firms who simply try to divest from Israel. Imagine if the American government would have sent South Africa not only not caused divestment and not only put sanctions against South Africa, but would have actually sent South Africa arms and billions of dollars. Imagine the outrage in the media. Imagine the outrage that existed in the media against South Africa. But why, ladies and gentlemen, is there no outrage in America's Jewish extremist-dominated media about American support for the criminal state of Israel? 8. As I pointed out for years, the same government and media that see racial and ethnic segregation as a great evil supports Israel. And this is a nation that has institutional segregation of Jews and of Jews and non-Jews in schools, facilities, neighborhoods, apartment buildings, whole towns, and even the settlements in the West Bank on the stolen land of the Palestinians are themselves segregated and allowed for, quote, Jews only. How does one explain the government and media's position, toward Israel without factoring in that fact? How do they explain these positions unless these Jewish extremist partisans have so much influence in government and media? Well, there's my dog agreeing with me again about what I'm saying here today. And she's our mascot, and it's good to hear from you again, Tori. And she's always going to give us a little a word throughout these programs. The New York Sun article refers to me as a, quote, white supremacist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an epithet that I completely reject and refute. The truth is that the Sun and its staff are the real supremacists. Jewish supremacists who seek and support Jewish supremacy, not only in the United States and in Israel and Jerusalem and the West Bank, but in the United States as well. Indeed, they have been working for supremacy over American foreign policy, and they've obtained a supremacy over many politicians. They have a working supremacy over much of the American press, and especially the most important and powerful media institutions. This Jewish supremacy is easy to document and to prove. It is a proverbial gorilla in the room that nobody dares mention. If one dares to speak about it, they will be characterized, like me, as a, quote, supremacist or anti-Semite, unquote. As usual, most powerful arguments come from the Jewish supremacists themselves. I'm talking about my powerful arguments, because when I quote them, I show exactly what I'm talking about, and I prove what I'm talking about. Now, here are two important omissions from their own words. The first one is from one of the leading Jews in the United States, a Jewish activist who was once head of the national affairs for the largest and most powerful Jewish organization in the United States, the American Jewish Committee. His name is Stephen Steinlight. Now, am I supposed to be an anti-Semite because I quote prominent Jewish leaders in saying how they and typical Jews are raised to put loyalty to Israel first and to view Gentiles as inferior beings? Let me give you the quote from Steinlight. Quote, and this is from The Backgrounder in 2001. quote, I'll confess it at least, like thousands of other typical Jewish kids of my generation, I was reared as a Jewish nationalist, even a quasi-separatist. Every summer for 2 months, for 10 formative years during my childhood and adolescence, I attended Jewish summer camp. There, each morning, I saluted a foreign flag, dressed in a uniform reflecting its colors, sang a foreign national anthem, learned foreign languages, learned foreign folk songs and dances, and was taught that Israel was the true homeland. Immigration to Israel was considered the highest virtue, and like many other Jewish teens of my generation, I spent 2 summers working in Israel on a collective farm while I contemplated that possibility. More tacitly and subconsciously, I was taught the superiority of my people to the Gentiles who had oppressed us. We were taught to view non-Jews as untrustworthy outsiders, people from whom sudden gusts of hatred might be anticipated, people less sensitive, intelligent, and moral than ourselves. Now listen to that again. We were taught superiority of my own people to the Gentiles who had oppressed us, Gentiles, people, less sensitive, intelligent, and moral than ourselves. We were also taught the lesson of our dark history that we could rely on no one. Steinlight. Stephen Steinlight, ladies and gentlemen. That's not David Duke talking. Could you imagine for a minute if I said something of that along that line, or even wrote such a thing? But I said, I'll confess at least, like thousands of other typical, you know, white Gentile kids in my generation, I was reared as a white nationalist or even a white separatist. For summer, for 2 months, for 10 formative years in my childhood, I attended a white, you know, nationalist summer camp, and each morning I saluted the white flag, dressed in the uniform for white people, learned white songs and dances, whatever. We can go on. And that, you know, that I was taught to view the superiority of my people to the non-whites who had oppressed us. We're taught to view non-whites as untrustworthy outsiders, or say Jews as untrustworthy outsiders. You know, we can go on and on, ladies and gentlemen. The hypocrisy is amazing. Now, the second quotation I want to give you is from a major Jewish publication that's boasting about the Jewish supremacists control the largest media conglomerates in the United States. Again, proving my point of why we have these kind of policies, how they can get rid of these lies of the weapons of mass destruction. Again, am I supposed to be an anti-Semite or a supremacist because I quote from a Jewish publication bragging about their dominance? Is DavidDuke.com an anti-Semitic website for reporting what Jewish publications themselves say? And here's a quotation from Los Angeles Jewish Times, October 29, 1999. And I quote, 4 of the 5 entertainment giants are now run or owned by Jews. Murdoch's News Corp at number 4 is the only Gentile holdout. However, Rupert is as pro-Israel as any Jew, probably more so. That, again, is from the Los Angeles Jewish Times. 4 out of 5 of the entertainment giants. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I am not a supremacist. I'm not a racist. I'm not filled with hatred toward anybody. I believe in freedom. I believe in independence. I'm anti-colonial. I think that our nations can do fine. I don't think we have to have military bases all over the world. I don't think we have to control everyone's economy or their government. Other people should be allowed to do what they want, and I don't think it's America's business, and I think it's about time we confined ourselves to the things that are critical to us here at home. Like, for instance, protecting our own borders. It's not the rivers or the borders of Iraq that we should be concerned about. It's more like the Rio Grande River and the border of Mexico that Americans should be concerned about. It's the fact that Hollywood, basically, and the media has been ripped away from the values of our own particular Western Christian culture, and now it's just drowning this country in the cultural, on a cultural wasteland, a destruction, a flood of garbage that is destroying even, I think, our will to live as a people. So I'm not a supremacist, not a racist. I do love my people, and I love my heritage, and I resent that much of the media, as well as significant policies of the government of the United States, are controlled by the interests of a foreign nation, a foreign group within our nation that has loyalties to a foreign entity. I hope that if you would like to know more about this subject, a fascinating subject, you will go to my website, davidduke.com, and you will click on the ad on the right for Jewish supremacism, and you can read some of the chapters of my book online. You can also read my preface, which gives you a good overview of the book, and you can order the book through our website. You know, I think it's a book that is changing the world. It's in many languages now and going into many more. And I would appreciate it if you would study and read this book, evaluate for yourself these ideas. Certainly, I've given enough of you, especially people new to this website, new to these ideas. I've given you a lot to chew on tonight. I think I've made my point that there's a tremendous hypocrisy going on in the media and in government on these critical issues of Israel, the Iraq War, and other Mideast policy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I certainly appreciate you being with me. Don't forget, use your fingers on the keyboard. Let your fingers do the walking. And you can reach many, many people all over the United States and all over the world with these ideas. Send a link to this broadcast. I'll have this archived up in the next few minutes. And I do look forward to being with you again tomorrow night. Thanks so much. And until tomorrow, God bless and take care.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.